Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into scripture to uncover timeless truth. Each week, we answer three key questions on the podcast. First, what is the context of the passage? We'll take a look at our study passage for the week and examine the backdrop of the history and the culture to understand the significance of those two things. Second, what do we find in the passage? We'll highlight the main themes and insights that emerge. And finally, what is one thing leaders should not miss in the leader resources? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Mike Livingston. Mike is a familiar voice, probably to many of you, because he's been on the podcast quite a bit. He is an editor on our Explore the Bible team. Specifically, he edits the Personal Study Guide and the Daily Discipleship Guide. So if you are using either one of those resources, you get to see his work. He also leads a Bible study group at his church. Mike, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, always a blessing.
Well, today we're looking at session 12. In this session, we will examine Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Well, today's focus passage is part of Jesus's fifth and final discourse in Matthew's gospel. And in these chapters, which are chapters 24 and 25, Jesus taught about his return. He also exhorted his followers to be ready and alert for this return. And then he taught about judgment that would take place. So all of this, both of these chapters are happening during Jesus's last week of his earthly ministry, also known as Passion Week or Holy Week. Jesus was making his way to the cross, but also taking every opportunity to prepare his followers for what was to come. Today, we're studying verses 31 through 46, which is not a parable, but it is a teaching. And specifically, it's Jesus's last major teaching recorded in Matthew's gospel. Well, let's turn our attention to the passage. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33. Those are the first set of verses we'll study. When Jesus returns, angels will be with him. His glory and authority will be evident as he judges all people from all nations. Jesus will separate the righteous from the faithless. Mike, talk to us about these verses and what we should not miss as we study them and prepare to teach them this weekend.
Yeah, clearly these verses describe the final judgment. So verse 31, where we start this lesson, describes when the Son of Man comes in his glory. The angels will be with him. He will sit on his throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them. So all the nations makes it clear Jesus is talking about the final judgment of the whole human race, when every person will stand before Jesus to be judged by him. And at that time, he'll separate them one from another. So the final judgment will be a time of separation. What we see in the following verses, though, is that this separation will be according to their deeds. And so this prompts a question. The entire passage prompts this question that will likely come up, or maybe it should come up, in our group time. How can salvation by grace, justification by faith, coexist with this passage that says Jesus will judge and separate people according to their deeds, according to the things that they have done? That's a question. I mean, that's a good question. That we shouldn't shy away from that. We probably need to address that, right? And clearly there's more to be said from Scripture about the basis of judgment than what is said in this passage alone. At the same time, we need to take this passage very, very seriously, as we do every passage, but we need to take what this passage is saying about judgment seriously. Now, we've got to be careful how we deal with this and how we treat this, and be sure that we are letting Scripture interpret Scripture, which is an important principle, right? So we know that the Bible teaches us that we are justified by faith alone. We know that. The Bible, it's clear, you're saved by grace through faith, not from yourselves. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy. The Bible's clear that the basis of judgment will be our faith response to Jesus.
Yeah.
But works are the evidence of that faith.
Mm-hmm.
Works are the evidence of our faith, as James 2 talks about. And Scripture also teaches us that our works will be examined. We will be held accountable for the things that we do. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he's done in the body, good or evil. I mean, that teaching is there. Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he'll reward each one according to what he's done. So the clear teaching of Scripture is that we're not saved by works, but works will follow salvation. And so the summary statement of this lesson is that the way we treat Jesus as followers reveals the nature of our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is just a caution for us as we lead this group time, as we teach this passage, that we were careful not to imply that our good deeds or lack of good deeds will determine where we spend eternity.
Yeah.
And even though this lesson is not designated the quarterly evangelism lesson, you know, in the table of contents in front of the book, we have in this passage, in this lesson, a wonderful opportunity to make an evangelistic appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to take advantage of that as we teach this lesson.
I really like what you shared. I think even for believers who have been following Jesus for a long time, it is hard not to fall into a pattern of thinking, or maybe not intentionally thinking, but acting like we can earn our salvation by our works. Partly because I think the rest of our life, we do see sort of transactional. We, you know, we go to work and we get a paycheck for it. We do these things and we get something in return. And so it's hard to kind of remind ourselves that that is not how our faith works. And so this passage, I think it is important to hear it again and again that we don't earn our salvation. It is such a gift. The next set of verses, Matthew 25:34-40, addressing the righteous people, Jesus described them as blessed by the Father. They will inherit the kingdom of God that he has prepared for them. And then he went on to describe the ways that they had acted with compassion to meet his physical needs. So hunger, thirst, alienation, nakedness, sickness, and imprisonment. The righteous questioned him, wondering when these events happened. And Jesus explained that anyone who met the need of any Christian was ministering to him. So just as you said, you know, one big question that might arise or even should arise is, does this teach that we earn our way into salvation? But the other question I think is found in this passage, the big question of the study is, who are the least of these? So Bible students have debated this question, and some conclude Jesus was referencing followers of him based on his use of the phrase in other places in Matthew's gospel, specifically 10:42, chapter 18, verses 6, 10, and 14. Still others believe that Jesus was talking about missionaries and evangelists who were suffering for the sake of the gospel, finding themselves in need in one of the ways that was mentioned. Now, this view is considered a little too narrow to fit into the context of this passage. And then others believed it just meant anyone in need, anyone at all. But this would neglect the other places that Jesus used the phrase specifically to identify his followers. So the best interpretation, who are the least of these, is that Jesus was pointing to his followers. So that the ones who were ministering to his, to believers, to fellow believers. Well, let's keep going. Our next set of verses that we study are found in Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. Jesus then addressed the faithless people. They will endure eternal punishment and separation from God. He then noted the same physical needs and stated that they had neglected to meet the needs of those around them. And by neglecting those needy persons, they had neglected him. The unrighteous will experience eternal punishment, and the righteous will experience eternal life. Mike, talk to us about these verses.
Okay, so here's another question. And this question is actually in our resources. It's in the Leader Guide. It's in PSG and DDG. And the question is, what prevents some people in our culture from believing the biblical teaching about hell and, an eternal punishment or hell and eternal life, maybe it says. So there's actually been some research done just recently on this. Lifeway Research asked 3,000 Americans, roughly 3,000 people, across a broad spectrum of society. All right, do you agree or disagree, they asked, that there will be a time when Jesus returns to judge all people who've lived? And 62% of Americans agreed, either strongly agreed or somewhat agreed, that there will be a time when Jesus comes back and he will judge all people. Now, Americans with evangelical beliefs, those who identify themselves as evangelical, are certainly more likely to agree with that than those who do not have evangelical beliefs. It's 98% as opposed to 53%. But then they also, the other question Lifeway Research asked was about hell. And so, agree or disagree, they asked. Hell is a real place where certain people will be punished forever. And overall, 57% of Americans agreed with that, that hell is a real place where certain people will be punished. 94% of those with evangelical beliefs agreed, while 48% of those without evangelical beliefs agreed. So just under half of Americans who are not evangelicals would agree that there is a real place called hell and people are going to be punished forever in this place. So going back to this question that we asked, what prevents some people in our culture from believing this teaching, this biblical teaching about hell? Because even some who profess to be Christians are going to shy away from this. They will shy away. They do shy away from the doctrine of eternal punishment. And I think there, we could identify a number of reasons for this. We could answer that question in a number of ways. First of all, hell is not a pleasant thing to think about. And many people want a feel good spirituality, a feel good, positive message, religion, which is why so many people are drawn to prosperity preachers. Prosperity preachers typically don't preach on hell and judgment. They don't. Many people also believe that truth is subjective. What's true for you is not necessarily true for me. And that kind of mindset makes absolute claims like this sound intolerant. If truth is seen as something that's just personal and subjective, then a claim like Jesus is the only way, or people who don't trust in Jesus are going to hell, makes that sound really narrow-minded if we think truth is subjective. And some people just struggle with reconciling a loving God with the concept of eternal punishment. And there's a tension there. And so that tension leads some to dismiss hell as incompatible with divine love. When's the last time you heard a sermon on hell? I don't know when I have last. But we want to take this opportunity as we're in this passage to affirm a biblical teaching here that we don't hear talked about very much. And that's the biblical doctrine of an eternal punishment in a place called hell. And Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. And most of what we know about hell comes from Jesus. Most of what we know. The Bible clearly teaches hell as an actual place of eternal punishment, a punishment that will be by fire. Revelation 20:15 says, if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, was thrown into the lake of fire. And if that's not a literal lake of fire, if I'm saying if that's not a literal lake of fire, then it's something worse than fire that we can't even imagine. It's something worse than fire that John could not even describe or put into words. This is how he described it. So if it's not literal lake of fire, it's something worse than that. So there is an actual place of eternal punishment. Okay, so the Bible's clear that all people will spend either eternity with God in his glory or in hell eternally separated from God. And so what's the takeaway from this? What's the practical application that we should take from this? I think one main thing is that understanding the reality of judgment and hell should create in us as believers an urgency to do everything we can to share the gospel and lead people to Christ before it is too late for them.
The key doctrine, it's found on page 111 of the Personal Study Guide. It also summarizes, although just a very short summary of what you just shared, the key doctrine of the last things, of an eternal punishment, but also an eternal reward for those who follow Jesus. This is an important passage. And you asked, when is the last time you've heard a sermon? And I was like, I do not know. It has been a while. It's been a while. But it's so important. It's so important because it's what we're to be about. So Jesus was talking to his followers, but this is for us as well, because we need to be thinking about and preparing for and talking about Jesus with others so that they would have an eternal, their eternal destiny would be with the Lord. Each week, we highlight something that we think group leaders should not miss in our leader resources. This is something we consider to be a valuable tool. It can boost your discussion or just provide extra clarity and understanding of what you're studying. This week, I want to highlight pack item number 8. It's entitled Matthew's Timeline. So the teaching plan for today's study offers an opportune time to share this handout and discuss when the events of today's study happened in the context of the whole book of Matthew. So this handout provides a clear understanding of the timing of events, especially in light of what is about to happen with Jesus's trials and crucifixion. And as always, group leaders, you can print this off and provide copies for your group members, or you can send the PDF by text or email. So the physical leader pack always includes access to digital versions of each pack item that you can download and send out. Mike, thank you for being on the podcast today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't miss next week's episode as we discuss session 13, a study of Matthew 26, verses 17 through 30. Bob Bunn will be joining us for that, and we hope you'll join us.